This is the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. Today, our special guest is Bob Maurer. Bob's with Manduca Trading in Chicago, set to join us in just a moment. But first, Farm Service Agency Administrator Bill Beam talks about exceptions for crop acreage reporting dates with USDA.
The following exceptions apply to acreage reporting dates. If the crop has not been planted by the acreage report deadline, then the acreage must be reported no later than 15 days after the crop has been planted or completed planting. If the producer acquires additional acreage after the acreage reporting deadline, then the acreage must be reported no later than 30 calendar days after the purchase or acquiring the lease. Appropriate documentation must be provided to the county office to help verify.
It's the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James, joined today by Bob Maurer. Bob's with Manduca Trading in Chicago, and Bob, our conversation kind of talks about markets today, and at the end of the session on Monday, corn lower, soy sector lower across the board, all three wheat exchanges in the red, cotton market a little higher, but again, not saying a whole lot there because it's been a tight range and just doesn't seem like anybody wants to buy cotton right now. But let's go back to just a general look at what's happening. I think you had a chance to see kind of the Western Corn Belt and the Western U.S. What'd you see?
Yeah, so long story short, I took a trip, did a little tour from my neck of the woods, which is northeastern Illinois, through Illinois over to Iowa, crossed across Iowa, and then basically split Nebraska from east to west on I-80, and then worked my way from northeast Colorado through to Denver, over the mountains, and then into Utah. So I saw a big swath of the grain belt, and I like doing this just to kind of get an actual visual. I read so many pages of research every single day, and it's all, you know, excellent, and I like to have multiple sources to corroborate the information when I'm making the decision, either for myself or for customers in terms of hedging or speculating. But it's also really nice just to get the visual and actually see what's going on rather than just reading about it. And it was nice to cruise along. Spent many, many hours in the car, and did have a chance to stop here and there for various reasons. And what I saw is pretty much what's being played out in the data, where we got relatively lighter emergence. You know, most of the places are just on the starting of the crop, you know, starting to pop up and such. And that makes sense for this time of year. But also, I was able to corroborate some of the data in terms of just the relative dryness in certain areas. So there was many places I passed where if there hadn't been some form of irrigation, maybe usually through center pivots, what I saw, the fields were generally dry, okay? Whereas where there was the pivots, things were popping up pretty quickly, which, you know, makes common sense. But net, what it's telling me is that Mother Nature isn't as accommodative in certain parts of the states as in others. So that's something definitely to watch. Now, of late, we've gotten some precipitation, and, you know, in terms of topsoil moisture and subsoil moisture, things are improving. But nonetheless, we need to see that to continue to improve to make sure that we're going to get the yields that the market seems to be pricing in at this time. As I rolled in through Colorado, it was definitely apparent that it's been relatively dry on the north east side there because there was a lot of brown and tan out in the field. So, and again, just kind of indicative of the situation out there in terms of precipitation, and things have been relatively dry in certain areas, not all, and there has been improvements, like I said, but net, you know, it's just something we'll keep an eye on going forward. So those weather forecasts over the next couple few weeks are going to be kind of important.
Okay. Again, we have weather forecasts, but we also have some reports coming out. We get a WASDE report later this week, along with a crop production report. And By the time we hit the end of the month, we're getting annual acreage, quarterly grain stocks. Will these be market-moving reports?
Certainly could be. I know the markets definitely anticipate them. Now, in terms of the one that's on tap for this week, that being the WASDE report due out June 12 on Thursday, in terms of my takeaway, I won't go through all the data, but my takeaway for, in specific, the United States here, things look generally friendly for prices for corn, whereas more neutral to bearish for soybeans and wheat. That's in terms of the expectations by the trade. And then when you move over into the world crop numbers, the world crop production and or world grain ending stocks, we see the opposite, where it looks relatively bearish for corn. And what I'm comparing, the reason I'm saying bearish or bullish is because of where things were last month. So this is relative to the last month's number. So I say bearish because they're raising the corn production in Brazil just a bit, at least the average trade guesstimate is. And same for ending stocks. Average trade guesstimate is just shy of 279 million metric tons. And the USDA's previous was just shy of 278. So a little bit of growth there, right? And then for soybeans and for wheat, in those respective categories, more neutral. So I think that's where the mindset is of the with the trade as of now. In terms of just going to the day to day, you know, clearly we'll be watching, like we said in the onset of this conversation here, the weather, see if things are going to continue to stay conducive or not. It needs some improvement in certain areas, like I mentioned earlier. When you talk about corn in specific, you know, you see some of the geopolitical things that are happening, the ongoing Russia-Ukraine conflict, which seems to be escalating a bit. So that provides a bit of a risk to the Black Sea export channel. So you would think some kind of bump up in prices would happen from that. And yet corn prices are down about a dime today. In terms of wheat, we've got a lot of positives that are happening in the market. You've got the heavy rain in the U.S. plains that could delay harvest. It also could reduce crop quality. And why that is important is if it reduces the crop quality, then some of that wheat might turn into feed market quality. And if it turns into feed market quality, that is an additional source of demand for wheat that might develop. So we'll keep an eye on that. And then in terms of soybeans, I'd say most of the information is negative. Recent rains have been favorable. Like I mentioned earlier, the subsoil moisture is solid and improving. Low crop stress so far. And then also we've got export competition in terms of Brazil. Bean exports are rather robust at this time of year. And I would say the one thing that's kind of offsetting that is that the U.S. export pace is still holding well for soybeans, despite the South American competition. And I think the one big variable that's an unknown at this point, but things seem to be working in the right direction, is that U.S. and China are starting to open conversations about trade talks. And being that they haven't been a big purchaser of soybeans of late, generally speaking, you would think that there's nowhere to go but up. So hopefully something good comes out of that. And I think the market will be on its guard in case some kind of positive news comes from that situation. So a lot of different dynamics from many different directions in the markets of late.
This is the Agribusiness Report.
If you're going to succeed, you need cotton that's strong enough to perform around here where you grow. That's why Delta Pine cotton varieties are bred to meet the needs of your neck of the woods and are rigorously evaluated by local growers for maximum performance potential and consistency year after year. Strong cotton performance starts around here with locally tested Delta Pine cotton. Learn more at DeltaPine.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
Success is attained by those who approach problems with a plan and a purpose. As an advocate for High Plains cotton growers since 1956, Plains Cotton Growers has been tackling the tough issues facing cotton growers through beneficial legislative and regulatory changes. An important part of PCG's success is through close working relationships with congressional representatives and federal regulatory staff, allowing cotton growers more time to devote to farming operations. From the halls of Congress to the dusty turnroads of the High Plains, cotton producers depend on Plains Cotton Growers.
It's the Agribusiness Report. Special guest today, Bob Maurer, Manduca Trading Chicago. All right, Bob, let's talk livestock cash last week, 225 to 235 in the south, 240 to 244 in the north, dress 380, and the hogs continue to rally. All right, what are you watching?
Hog slaughter recent weeks have been trending below year ago, so that reduces supply. That helps the bullish equation, shall we say. Canadian hog imports are down, so that also reduces supply here in the United States, adding to the bullish side of the equation. Next hogs and pigs report, June 26, end of the month. That's expected at this point to show a little herd expansion, and that should also work its way into suggesting tighter supplies might be persistent into late 2025. So that market is definitely discounting all this information. On the business side of the equation, packers are still profitable, even with hog prices up here. Estimated margins around $13 for the non-integrators, around $63 for the integrated. And you've also got the spec funds, the disinterested money, shall we say. I mean, they're not interested in actually procuring the product. You know, they just want to get on the right side of the market. So when you look at the managed funds category for the hogs, I mean, they continue to add to their net long positions, and they got some huge purchasing power, so that's helping to push it up. So all those things, I think, are working favorably for the hog market. It's hard to argue otherwise, just based on the price action. And in terms of cattle, you still got the tightening supply trends. You got strong consumer demand, which I'm kind of surprised at because prices are so darn high. But nonetheless, if it is what it is. Got record cash prices that doesn't seem to be scaring anybody off at the moment. Funds are bullish, kind of like the hogs. And the input to the live cattle is the feeder cattle, and that market is still on fire too. So several things working its way, generally speaking, to help that market be well supported. I would think one thing that we'll keep an eye on is carcass weights. They remain well above prior years. So even though the quantity of head out there isn't what it used to be, we would say that, or is heading in the wrong direction in terms of any kind of relief. Definitely the weights might be offsetting a bit of that. And in terms of trade and export, not necessarily great. April beef exports were down about 9% year on year. Obviously big declines to China, Mexico, and Canada, and those are the three top targets in terms of tariffs. However, and also imports are up around 45% year on year, especially from Brazil and Australia, which kind of makes sense when you think about the price of cattle here in the U.S. We're going to go elsewhere to try to find some kind of source that might reduce the price, and that's working its way into the market. So we'll keep an eye on those dynamics.
Okay, we're almost out of time. If we want to find Bob Maurer, Manduca Trading, Chicago, where do we find you?
A few different places. Good old-fashioned, pick up the phone, give me a call. The number is 312-987-2053. You can reach out by email at bmauer@manducatrading.com or come visit the website at www.myfuturesadvisor.com.
Again, Bob Maurer, Manduca Trading in Chicago. This is the Agribusiness Report.
Manage your risk and take advantage of opportunities with StoneX. Utilizing StoneX's global presence to provide the best in market intelligence, a vast portfolio of risk management and marketing products, and a team of brokers who specialize in working with those in agriculture, StoneX provides the resources you need to make the best possible decisions. Learn more about the StoneX Advantage. Call Donna Hughes at 214-613-1688.
There's substantial risk to futures and options trading. Not all products are suitable for all producers.
Let's talk about logos. What's the value of a good mark? Well, when it comes to the seal of cotton, it's pretty big. Introduced in 1973, the seal of cotton trademark has planted itself in consumers' headspaces. In fact, 94% of consumers say the seal helps them easily identify cotton products. 85% say they associate the seal with softness, comfort, and durability. 40 years of cotton research and promotion really adds up. You grow the cotton? The Cotton Research Promotion Program helps grow the value. Learn more at cottonboard.org.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Agribusiness Report. Again, our special guest today, Bob Maurer, Manduca Trading, Chicago. All right, report set to come out from USDA. We'll get a weekly export sales report on Thursday, along with the crop production and WASD report. Then on Friday the 20th, cattle on feed report. And then on the 30th, more reports from USDA.
The Texas Corn Producers Association has long worked tirelessly in the interest of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, so we're at the table when you can't be. But like you, we can't do it alone. Our strength is in our members. Our strength is in you. Join us as we continue advocating for the American corn farmer. Visit texascorn.org and become a member today.
If you're going to succeed, you need cotton that's strong enough to perform around here where you grow. That's why Delta Pine cotton varieties are bred to meet the needs of your neck of the woods and are rigorously evaluated by local growers for maximum performance potential and consistency year after year. Strong cotton performance starts around here with locally tested Delta Pine cotton. Learn more at DeltaPine.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
It's the Agribusiness Report.
With spring crop planting nearly complete for much of the nation, USDA Farm Service Agency Administrator Bill Beebe offers this reminder to growers.
After spring planting is complete, agriculture producers should make an appointment with their local Farm Service Agency office to complete their crop acreage reports before the application deadline.
That deadline being July 15th. The importance to producers regarding crop acreage reporting is
to ensure the receipt of an important safety net or disaster assistance, conservation, and crop insurance programs, producers should file an accurate crop acreage report for all crops and land uses, including failed acreage and prevent plant acreage.
Beam adds some reporting deadlines will vary by county and by crop. Details on needed reporting documentation is available through local FSA offices or online at www.fsa.usda.gov. I'm Rod Bain reporting in Washington, D.C.